Welcome back. This is Not Status Quo Politics. I am Brian, and we're going to dig right in today. We've been talking a lot about the political system. That's really what this podcast is about. Why does the political system not work for most people today? That's the genesis of why I started this podcast. So that's what we talk about every episode, pretty much. Last episode, we tried to explain what happened to the education system, how it got swallowed up by the political system. Today, I want to take a step back and look at the systems, again, from the standpoint of how are the systems designed? And to do that, I'm going to use a principle that comes out of a book by a guy named Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek is a leadership speaker. He wrote a book, I want to say in 2009, called Start With Why. It really is what kind of launched him into the public spotlight. He's written several books since then. His most recent came out in 2019, and the title of that book was called The Infinite Games. It's a really important concept of infinite versus finite when we talk about these systems. So again, a quick review for people that forgotten or didn't listen to the other podcasts and just jumped into this one. We believe there are systems that govern our existence. Things like the family system, the church system or the religious system, the political or government system, education system, business system, media system, arts and entertainment system. Those are systems, they're things that we interact with on a routine basis. Maybe not daily, but routine. They govern our existence on planet Earth. They're designed to sit vertically, side by side, to be equally important, but have different functions. And if they were to function as designed, then life on planet Earth would function the way it was designed. But they don't. I'm not suggesting they ever will function as designed because we insert flawed humans into these systems. So will the family system ever function exactly as it was designed? Probably not. Will we ever rid the planet of domestic violence? Probably not. There were four human beings on the planet. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, and there was domestic violence. Cain kills his brother Abel. So we probably won't ever rid the planet of that, but it doesn't mean we can't improve those systems. That's what we're trying to do with this podcast, is help you understand the system so that maybe with that understanding, we can then together try to transform these systems or realign these systems so they're back sitting vertically side by side. We said the political system doesn't sit vertically side by side anymore, but it sits horizontally across the top of the other systems. And when it sits up there, it then just the weight of it then pressures the other systems. It's no different than anything else. If you put a vertical member or a vertical piece of wood, and then you start to place horizontally things on top of that, there's pressure on that vertical piece. That vertical piece will feel pressure. It's physics, right? There's going to be a force that's pushing down on top of that vertical piece due to the horizontal piece sitting on top of it. That's what we feel today. That's what we feel in the family system. We feel the weight of the political system sitting horizontally on the family system, and it squeezes it. Squeezes the business system, squeezes the religious system, squeezes the education system to the point where it really has taken over the education system, like we talked about last episode. But how did that happen, or why did that occur? Why did the political system go from being vertically aligned as it was designed initially to sitting horizontally on top of the other systems? It had to happen somehow. So what happened? That brings me to the concept of infinite and finite. So I'm not saying don't read the book, The Infinite Games by Simon Sinek. It's a great read. Read the book. Let me just explain the concept and then apply it to the political system and the other systems. The concept is that there are both finite games and infinite games. A finite game has known players, known rules, and a defined outcome. It's like a football game. You have known players. You have a roster. You can go to the Colts game, and you can get the Colts roster and see who the players are. You know the players. You know the rules. The rules are defined. They don't get to make up the rules in the middle of the game. The rules are defined, and somebody is going to win or lose. Hopefully the Colts win more than they lose. Again, I'm from Indiana, so I'm a Colts fan. But that's a finite game. An infinite game has known and unknown players, rules that can change, and you play the game to keep the game going. All of the systems we've talked about, the family system, religious system, government system, education system, business system, all of those systems are infinite systems. If we apply the definition of infinite to those systems, there are known and unknown people in those systems. There are rules within those systems that can change and will change. And you participate within the system to keep the system going. Take the family system. There are known and unknown people in the family system. You know the people that are currently in your family or have previously been in your family, but you don't know the people that are going to be in your family. There's always going to be more people coming. So there's known and unknown players at this point. The rules can change. The way you raise your kids may be different than the way you were raised, the way your kids raise their kids. The rules within the family system can change. I mean, we're changing the definition of family. We're doing all that. But I'm just talking about within the family system. Take a single family. Within that, even the rules can change there. And you play the game, so to speak, in the family. You're playing within the family system to keep the system going. You're not looking for your family line to die out. You want your family line to continue to go, to continue to reproduce. The church system. Newsflash, the church system is going to be here long after you're gone. There's going to be people come and go out of the church system. There's going to be some, quote, rules that change within the church system. And we keep trying to keep the church system going. The political system is the same way. All of those systems are that way. But what happened over time? What happens? Let me take a step back. Within any infinite system, there is finite activities or finite games within any system. Any of these systems we talked about that are infinite, they're all infinite. There are finite games within them, but they are not finite systems. They're infinite systems. So let's take politics, for example. We're in the middle or the end of primary season. Election cycles are finite games. They have known players. They have known rules. Supposed to have known rules, at least. And there's a defined outcome. Somebody wins or loses. But that doesn't mean politics or the government system is a finite system. It's an infinite system. There's just finite games that get played within an infinite system. The problem is we often take infinite systems that have finite games within them and we turn them into finite systems. That's the mistake we make. We should never turn them into finite systems. Why? Because they were designed to be infinite systems. And if they're designed to be infinite systems, we don't have the right or the ability or the authority to turn them into finite systems. But we have. And we certainly have in politics. We probably have in the religious system quite often too. Again, not saying every church is this way. Not saying this is necessarily a bad thing. But the number of people that get saved in a church is a finite game. It's part of the finite piece of an infinite religious system. But sometimes we boil the church down to that. Like how many people getting saved, right? That becomes the church. And that's not the church. So what we have to be careful about is never losing sight of the fact these systems that we live within are all infinite systems, even though there's finite games within them. Politics, the government system, we have turned from an infinite to a finite system. We function today in the United States as if the political system is a finite system. What does that mean? Well, it has three pieces to it. A finite system has three pieces. You have known players. The political system has known players. Matter of fact, they don't want unknown players to come into their system. Why? Because they see it as a finite system. So if you're not on the, quote, team, you don't get to participate. It's very hard for an outsider, somebody that's not been in the political system, to win an election. I know because I lived through it. I simply tried to get on the ballot to run for governor of Indiana and couldn't even do that. You could say, well, you just weren't a very good candidate. Yeah, maybe, but it's very hard. The system works very hard to prevent somebody like me from even showing up on the ballot. Why? If I'm not on the ballot, there's no way I can win. And the political system doesn't want to take the risk of an unknown, an outsider, winning. So if they can keep somebody off the ballot, then they know they're good. There's no way you can win. So there's known players. They make it very hard for unknown players to get into the game. Fixed rules. There is a fixed set of rules. Unfortunately, they're all made by the people that are in the system. So they fix the rules or change the rules, but they fix them to benefit them. That's how all the rules are set up, and you see that all the time. What does that mean? How does the political system set the rules to benefit them? In Indiana, starting on July 1st, we have a new law that's going into effect where cell phones have to be hands-free when you're in the car. And you say, but Brian, that is a great law. We don't want people being distracted while they're driving. Distracted driving is a serious issue. Yeah, I got it. I get all those things, right? But this is the slow drip of the political system moving from an infinite system to a finite system. They make the rules that restrict you as a participant in the finite system. Why? Because they don't want the people to be participants in the finite, in the infinite system, so they try to make it finite. Again, finite system has known players. Now, maybe this isn't clear to you yet. Let me make sure I explain it. You and I are not known players. You're not on the team. I know it says we, the people, in the Constitution, but that's not that's an infinite system mindset, we, the people. Why? Because in an infinite system, there's known and unknown players. People keep coming. Why? Because, you know, people keep being born into the United States as citizens of the United States. But that's not what we have today. We have a finite game. We have a finite system called politics. It excludes people that aren't on the team. Who's on the team? People that are part of the political system. So outsiders trying to run for office are not part of the team. You and I as citizens are not part of the team. And then they set the rules up to make sure that you continue to stay not part of the team. You continue to stay oppressed, but you don't know that you are because it's the slow drip method. Right. And so by taking your ability to choose away, which is what they do when they put in a hands-free driving law, they're saying, we can't trust you to do the right thing. So we're going to make a law that prevents you from making that decision. That's the slow drip method, pulls power and authority away from you. You no longer have that decision. You did, and you still do today. You don't as of July 1st. And there's a defined outcome. Politics is an infinite system being played with finite rules. That means there's a defined outcome. There are only winners and losers. Republicans win, Democrats lose. Democrats win, Republicans lose. That's the way it works. You want to know why there's nothing that gets done of any meaning in most political chambers, whether it be federal or state, It's because it's about winning and losing. But that's a finite mindset. Why does the political system care about winning and losing? Because it's applying finite rules to the infinite game. So how do we fix it? We have to start applying infinite rules to the infinite game. It's that simple. And it's very hard. Why? Why is it that simple and very hard? It's that simple because the concept is simple. I just explained it to you. You don't even have to read the book. Read the book. It's a good book. You don't have to read it, though, to understand what Simon Sinek is talking about when he talks about finite and infinite games. I explained it to you in less than 20 minutes. It's hard because who has to make it an infinite system again? The people that are currently applying finite rules. They have to stop applying finite rules and start applying infinite rules back into the game of politics. If they don't, we'll continue to have an infinite system being played with finite rules, which means you will always be excluded, the people, which means the rules are only there to benefit the system, and there's a defining outcome. There's only winners and losers, and you are not probably one of the winners. You might win some, but at the end of the day, it's all about just winning and losing, and that's what we've set up in the country. That's what we have today. So we can start applying infinite rules again. How do we do that? We have to recognize, and I'm not saying you and I, we probably do recognize, but the political system has to recognize that there aren't a defined team. There aren't only known players. There are known and unknown players. And there should be a concerted effort to make sure that people can participate when they want to. That if you want to be part of the team, that you can, quote, try out for the team on an even playing field. That's not what we have today. I don't know exactly the numbers, but I want to say it's either 98%, right around 98% of U.S. representatives, members of the U.S. Congress, 98% of the incumbents get reelected. That's not infinite rules being applied. That's finite rules being applied. That says if you're on the team, you can stay on the team. If you're not on the team, sorry, go find another game to play. But you can't play politics. So we have to start letting, and again, how do I know that the political system was designed to be an infinite system? Because representatives get reelected every 2 years. They're up for reelection every 2 years. That means there's supposed to be a constant churn of new people, not people that have been in Congress for 12 and 20 and 30 years. You say, but the Senate must be more finite because it only has elections every 6 years. It still needs to be a churn. It's still designed for re-election to occur. So I know that's what the founders wanted, was an infinite mindset in politics, or they wouldn't have said every 2 years you ought to have representatives be re-elected. So we know it's designed to be an infinite system, but we have to first start letting other people play. Second thing we have to do is we have to stop making the rules from the top and pushing the rules down to the bottom. In other words, we need to start having the people truly participate in what rules need to be in place. Laws, rules and laws. You say, Brian, we have that. We have representatives that do that. They don't do that. Why? Because they know they can get reelected. Why? Because we're applying finite rules to the infinite system. How are we doing that? We're saying if you're not part of the team, you can't participate. How do I know that? Because incumbents get reelected at a staggering rate. So if we're going to really have the people start being involved in the rules, we need to have the turnover of representatives. So there's always an accountability to the constituency, which doesn't really exist today. It exists some, but it doesn't exist widespread. In other words, I didn't say 100% of incumbents win re-election. I said about 98 do. There's always a few, but it's a few. It's a handful of incumbents that lose. Doesn't happen very often, but it happens occasionally. So there's some of that, but not at the rate that's necessary for the people to really be involved in what's going on, because we've lost the accountability to the constituency. So the rulemaking really becomes a rulemaking body with groupthink that's doing it in order to get to the last part of this, which is to win or lose. In other words, Republicans get together. It's a groupthink activity. If you're a dissenter, you get kicked out of the caucus. Maybe not physically kicked out, but you get ostracized or blackballed or berated on Twitter or some other social media platform because you didn't go along with the caucus. Sometimes then the caucus will even say, you know what, you're a bad apple, we have to get rid of you. Come your re-election, they will put a lot of money into any competitor that they believe would be easier to manipulate than you, and you likely will lose because the system will put its weight against you, and it will crush you, likely. So it becomes a groupthink exercise. So instead of the people having input as it was designed, because of our finite mindset or the finite rules we're applying to this infinite system, we get groupthink. And Republicans have this idea, and Democrats have this idea, and then it's about winning and losing. Infinite games have no winning and losing in them. Finite games have winning and losing. There is finite games played within the infinite system. I get on some legislation that's it is kind of push and pull. It could feel like win and lose. But we can't lose the mindset that it's not a finite game. If we lose the mindset it's a finite game, now it's all about winning and losing. And so in order for the political system to make sure it wins, it has repositioned itself, not vertically, side by side with the other systems, but horizontally on top of them. And it squeezes you. We sometimes say that's we're being oppressed, if you want to use that term, but it just squeezes you. And then it slowly pulls power and authority away. And it does it in a way that makes it feel like it's for your benefit. We don't want people that are working on our highways, improving our roads. We don't want other people that are driving on those roads to be injured because a distracted driver, i.e. or e.g., my English isn't great, somebody was distracted by their cell phone. I don't want that. You don't want that. That doesn't mean that the decision-making should be taken away from me. As soon as that decision-making is taken away, that's a piece of authority I had, I no longer own. The political system never had the right to take it away from me, but they did. Why? Squeeze a little bit. Squeeze a little bit. It didn't pass, but there was a bill pushed by our governor in the state of Indiana to force everybody under 18 to have to wear helmets when they're riding their bike. Why? Squeeze the family system. Parents aren't smart enough. You're not responsible enough to make sure you care for your kids, so we're going to do it for you. We're going to tell you they have to wear a helmet. It's not the political system having that authority. They don't have the authority to raise your kid, but they're taking it away from you. And they are trying to raise your kid. I mean, I say it's a slow drip. In some respects, it's not a slow drip. I mean, there are some places where it's just overt, where they'll just say, look, we think we can raise your kid better than you can, right? I mean, so I'm not saying it's always this kind of slow drip, covert method, but oftentimes it is. And it's so slow drip, you don't pay attention, and I don't pay attention. A little right here, a little right there, a little right here, a little right there, a little power, a little authority. Next thing you go, wait a second, I can't do that. I can't do this. That's why it works, right? It's only when a crisis hit that we actually see what the political system really believes. It doesn't want you to know what it really believes most of the time, but during a crisis, it has no choice. Why? Because as I've said in other podcasts, maybe not Status Quo Politics, but on my leadership podcast, The Leadership Playground, I've talked about this. In a crisis, our bad behaviors are exposed. That's what happens, right? If you have a physical crisis of some sort, maybe you have a heart attack, oftentimes through that crisis, your bad behavior was exposed. What you're eating, your lack of exercise, your lack of sleep, those things get exposed when you're recovering and there's questions about, you know, here's what you have to eat now and here's what you've been, you realize, hey, here's what I've been eating, Big Mac and fries, now I have to go eat, you know, skinless chicken breast or whatever it happens to be. So that's what happens. And the same happens in this political system. Our bad behavior in the political system was exposed during a crisis. So we got to see the actual thinking and behavior of the political system during the COVID-19 pandemic, which in some respects is still going on. What did we see? We saw them saying, you don't really have the right to do anything unless we let you do it. You don't get to go out of your house. You don't get to go out without a mask. You don't get to go to work. You don't get to go to worship. You don't get to go out to eat. You don't get to play summer softball or baseball. You don't get to go to the public swimming pool. You don't get to do any of those things. Why? Because we haven't given you permission to do it. Well, wait a second. When did you become the gatekeeper to me having rights to do things? See, in the slow drip method, the political system inserts themselves for capital C creator. In other words, instead of seeing capital C creator as the giver of rights, the political system starts to insert themselves as the giver of rights. And if you're the giver of rights, you can also be the taker of rights. So now the political system has worked itself in to the position of capital C creator, and it's positioned itself to say, I'm the giver of rights, so I can be the taker of rights. So, no, you can't work. No, you can't go out to eat. No, you can't go see your grandpa and grandma. No, you can't go see your loved one in the hospital. No, 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 no. So we saw the bad behavior. But it's not like their behavior wasn't bad before. It was just masked. Why? Because we weren't in a crisis. This didn't just happen. I said this before. The political system moving from being vertically aligned to being horizontally positioned on top of the other system didn't just happen. But now that it's done it, you start to see the other systems being compliant with the political system. They no longer really push back on the political system because the weight of the political system is so heavy. That's why you see a lot of the business system just kind of cowering under the weight of the political system in what's going on today. You see it with NASCAR, you see it even with Chick-fil-A, you see it with a lot of them now, right? So that's all happening because of the weight of the political system, because the political system decided it wasn't going to be an infinite system, it was going to be a finite system, it was going to play by finite rules, it was only going to let known players play, it was going to make up the rules that benefited itself, and it was going to be about winning and losing. We the people don't fit in that game. We don't fit in that game. We fit in the infinite system, played by infinite rules, but we don't fit in the finite system, played by finite rules. So we have to go back to recognizing all of those systems, family, religious, political, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, all those are infinite systems. I'll wrap up with a quick recap. An infinite system is different than a finite system. A finite system has known players, known rules, and a defined outcome. It's a football game. An infinite system has known and unknown players, rules that can and likely will change, and you play to keep the game going or keep the system functioning. You participate in the system to keep the system functioning. There are finite games that occur within an infinite system, but we can never apply finite rules to the infinite system. If we do that, if we apply finite rules to the infinite system, we now have taken the infinite system and made it finite. And when we made the political system finite, it repositioned itself on top of the other systems. Because it's about winning and losing now in the finite political system. And if it's going to make sure it wins and loses, it's got to make sure that it puts enough pressure on the other systems, that it pulls enough power and authority away, that it can guarantee it can never lose. Why? Because it's about winning and losing. We can reposition the political system by going back to infinite rules, applying infinite rules to the infinite system, because that's what it is. Okay, I'm going. I would talk for 30 some odd minutes, almost 31 minutes. I don't know if I took more than about a half a dozen breaths. So this just fires me up, man. This fires me up because I know it's wrong. I know what the political system's done. I know it's an infinite system and it's playing with finite rules, and it just ticks me off because I know it, but I can't fix it alone. We, the people together, can fix it. We can put enough pressure on the political system that it has to start going back to being an infinite system again, but it's hard and we have to all be committed to doing it. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox. Brian Roth, Not Status Quo Politics. Thanks for joining. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. Hey, we'll be back next week and we'll talk about the political system again. Hey, God bless. Have a great week and we'll talk soon. How you know, man?